What does Trump need to do with the Turkish relationship?
Well, Turkey is the second strongest military in NATO. It's a key partner of the United States. If the big crisis right now in the Middle East is the Syrian civil war, the challenge from ISIS, Turkey is right in the middle of that. If we want to defeat ISIS, Turkey has to be with us to besiege them in Raqqa in northern Syria. So Turkey's vital for us there and at NATO.
Markets and futures tumbling on worries over U.S. President Donald Trump Wednesday. U.S. share futures and the dollar slipping in early Asian trade. After reports, Trump asked then-FBI Director James Comey to end an investigation into Michael Flynn. It's raising questions over whether Trump could face obstruction of justice charges. And investors are starting to ask whether Trump really can push through the stimulus they've banked on since his election.
Ford plans to slash about 10% of its workforce in North America and Asia by October 1st, a source telling Reuters, as it hopes to boost profits and its sliding stock price. The cuts are part of a previously announced plan to cut costs by $3 billion as sales of new vehicles in the U.S. have slowed after 7 years of growth since the end of the global recession.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program. Today is Wednesday. It's May 17th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us on The Opening Bell for another edition, another business day. We have lots to cover a little bit later on in the program. We'll talk a little bit more about your dinner plans, perhaps. Lots of people cook dinner. We will talk a little bit about how microwave ovens maybe deal with that, or maybe you're using your electric range. We'll talk about technology involved with dinner a little bit later on. We'll also bring in our first guest momentarily, and we'll have the latest, too, from around the world as we continue to monitor the situation in Washington. It's impacting markets all around the world. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are off 103 points, nearly a half a percent, as investors are continuing to be nervous that the president may have obstructed justice involving his former FBI director. You heard there in the opening montage, lots of investors concerned that the president may now be hobbled by all of this and that his economic agenda may not go any further. Asian stocks have mostly been lower today as well, as investors watch all of what's happening here in the United States. Japan's Nikkei, the South Korea market, Hong Kong, everything is lower in Asia. And the same story pretty much holds true in Europe, with the exception of the FTSE, the DAX, the CAC. Everything is lower. This morning, oil is trading at $48.55 a barrel, off about a quarter. Silver and gold also trading a little bit lower today. Some stories you may have missed over the last 24 hours or so, 12 to 24 hours. Delta Airlines has come out in first place in the government's ranking of leading U.S. carriers and their on-time performance for March. According to the Federal Transportation Department, Delta Airlines landed on schedule 86.9% of the time. Southwest Airlines, a lot of you probably fly Southwest, 79% of the time. SkyWest, 78.5%. Alaska, 79.8%. Rounding out the remainder were ExpressJet, 75.8%. Spirit Airlines, 75%. JetBlue at 70%. United was there at 81% of the time. Arriving on time, according to the government. Federal appeals court has rejected a lawsuit that aimed to cancel Google's trademark by arguing that Google is now synonymous with searching the Internet. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says it was not enough to show that people use the verb Google generically to refer to searching the web. The lawsuit had to show that people understood Google meant Internet search engines generally and not Google's search engine. It's called the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentives Program. Its mission is to help low-income consumers purchase more fruits and vegetables, specifically at farmers market. The Farmers Market Coalition is a group dedicated to helping farmers markets be the best they can be across the country, is at the forefront of that program. And this morning we're happy to have on the executive director, Jen Cheek, of the Farmers Market Coalition. Jen, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
It is farmers market season here in the Midwest, in Chicago especially. We just launched them this week. Tell us a little bit about this program, the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentives Program, a long title there.
Yes, it's a long title that we typically refer to as FEANI. And it's a wonderful program, and it's extremely successful in Illinois around Chicago, although it is a national program. And the way it works is that customers who are on the accepting SNAP EBT benefits, which in Illinois is called Link, can come to the farmer's market and swipe their EBT card at a central location, and they earn incentives on the amount of SNAP benefits that they spend at the farmer's market. So the farmer's market can essentially double the amount of fresh fruits and produce that people receiving federal nutrition benefits earn when they shop at the farmer's market.
This is seems like a no-brainer because we're always talking about the problem of food insecurity. How is this helping in that area?
It's a huge help. We assume that our low-income neighbors don't want access to fresh food. That is not true. It's really, really helping neighborhoods that don't have other options to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. Farmers markets operate in rural and urban areas of all types, and they're allowed to sort of pop up in places that may be food deserts, that maybe don't have great access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So it's allowing farmers to come into areas that really need that access. And it's also providing an opportunity for education and learning, because anytime you get to talk to a farmer and see a new type of fruit or vegetable and learn about a new recipe, it's going to improve your health and the chances that you're going to eat more fruits and vegetables.
How do people know where these eligible farmers markets are? Or are all farmers markets taking part in this generally in the Chicago area?
Not all farmers markets are taking part, but luckily you guys have a wonderful organization called Experimental Station, which is located in Chicago, and they are offering SNAP benefits or doubling of SNAP dollars through their program called Link Up Illinois. And about 42 farmers markets in the Chicago area are accepting Link Up, offering Link Up. So, and they're also partnering with farmers markets around Illinois. So they're offering this program at 74 markets around Illinois, and 42 of those are in Chicago. And you can find out if there's one of these local markets near you on their website at experimentalstation.org.
Jen, hang on with us. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Jen Cheek, the Farmers Market Coalition Executive Director. We'll talk about how this is also helping farmers, and we'll talk about farmers markets in general, about how they're not only helping provide you and me with all kinds of fresh goodies and vegetables and fruits, but helping farmers too, as our conversation continues here on The Opening Bell.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, a subdued day of trading ended with stocks closing mostly lower yesterday, even as the NASDAQ composite scored another record high, gaining 20 points to 6170. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slid 2 points to 20,980. The S&P 500 dipped 2 points. Delta Airlines topped the list for on-time arrivals in the latest government rankings, followed by Hawaiian, United, and American. Meanwhile, Virgin America had the highest rate of delayed flights. Discount carrier Spirit Airlines drew the most consumer complaints. Home Depot topped expectations for its first quarter and raised its profit outlook for the year. Analysts say Americans are spending heavily at hardware and home improvement stores, even as they cut spending on clothing and other items. And Facebook has been fined $166,000 for breaching French privacy laws by tracking and using personal data of 33 million users, as well as non-Facebook users who browse the Internet. Facebook says it's taken steps to address privacy concerns. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 523. We've been talking about how SNAP, people who use the SNAP program can access farmers markets. The Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentives Program is one of those programs helping the Farmers Market Coalition at the center of this, and Jen Cheek is the executive director with us. Jen, these farmers markets, this program, FINI, not only helps people who are food insecure, but it's also helping the farmers. Tell us about that.
Yes. So in its first year of operation, which was 2015, the FINI program resulted in $8 million in SNAP and incentives being redeemed through FINI-funded farmers markets. So that means that's an increased revenue for the independent, small, and mid-sized farms who are selling at those farmers markets. And that was about 4,000 producers benefiting from the FINI program in its first year. Using the USDA's SNAP economic multiplier, that means that FINI brought an additional $14.3 million in economic activity to those rural communities.
I was going to say there that that is a huge given this time for farmers is kind of tense with the farm prices low, crop prices low. This has to be a wonderful extra source of income, doesn't it? Isn't it?
Exactly. If American tax dollars can simultaneously feed our hungry neighbors and provide a source of income and demand for American produce, it's really a huge win-win.
Tell us more about the Farmers Market Coalition. What do you do generally to help make sure that these wonderful farmers markets that we go to are the best they can be?
Yeah, so offering this great incentive is just one step in sort of a package that farmers markets really need to connect with their local customers. We make sure that they have the support to provide the outreach, the education to customers, that they have the administrative capacity to run the program, and that they have the equipment that they need to accept EBT benefits.
How is it generally going, farmers markets going? I know that the ones that I go to are always very, very busy and usually are sell out before the end of the thing at the middle of the day. Are these healthy all across the country?
Yeah, the wonderful thing about farmers markets is that they're really representative of their local communities and their local regions. So you can't say it across the board because every neighborhood is, you know, experiencing different effects dependent on the weather. Farmers are obviously heavily dependent on the weather as weather patterns have changed. And as we see earlier frost, that affects, you know, what they have to bring to market. But the wonderful thing is that customers develop relationships with farmers so they can know firsthand what's going on. They can talk to the farmers. They can learn about the food that they're eating and the troubles or the successes that they're having that season. And it really creates an environment where consumers are more educated and able to make better decisions about where their food is coming from and who they want to support in their local community. Because the money they spend at the farmers market stays in their community. It recirculates within their city and their state.
How does the movement, the farm-to-table movement, impact all of this and this growing concern by consumers about knowing where their food comes from and wanting to buy locally sourced food?
Yeah, I think farmers markets were at, you know, the driving force of that movement. They've grown dramatically in the past 10 years. We're at just over 8,500 farmers markets in the country, and that's due to consumer demand. Consumers are recognizing that they want food that's better, that's healthier, that's higher quality, and they want to know that it was grown in a responsible manner. So as the more that they get it, the more they demand it. So we've seen it move from farmers markets to now we have community-supported agriculture. We have food hubs. We have farm-to-table restaurants popping out. And farmers markets were really the genesis of this movement and also sort of the fulcrum and where these ideas were formed and shared and grown.
What are the biggest challenges for farmers markets?
Right now, I think, as we've been talking about, the FINI program has been wonderful in providing support to markets to allow them to figure out how to connect SNAP with customers, to identify what the best outreach is, to make sure that they're opening up their opportunity to buy fresh produce to all Americans and make sure that we're reaching our low-income neighbors. So that has been a challenge. The FINI program has helped address and identify some best practices there, and farmers markets are becoming more and more accessible. So the capacity to really learn about how to best connect with their customers is growing, but that continues to be something where a lot of markets can improve. They don't always have the administrative capacity to take on large marketing efforts, you know, and compete with these grocery stores and, you know, neighboring major brands who are now using the farmers market label or calling themselves local, even though they may not be.
Mm-hmm. Jen, you mentioned something earlier that I was trying to take notes, and I bet our listeners also didn't get it down. You mentioned the experimental in Chicago where people can go to learn more about this.
Yes, the Experimental Station is a wonderful organization in Chicago, helping farmers markets, running farmers markets, as well as a couple other wonderful initiatives. And their website is experimentalstation.org, and you'll find a list of farmers markets there who are offering SNAP incentives through a program that they call Link Up Illinois.
All right. Jen, good of you to be with us this morning on the opening bell. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Jen Cheek is the executive director of the Farmers Market Coalition. You can find more about them online at farmersmarketcoalition.com. experimentalstation.org. And again, that website for finding more information in Chicago, experimentalstation.org.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone. There are subscription services for movies, for razors, and now for linens. Netflix and Dollar Shave Club have taken off in popularity, and now a company wants to become the Netflix of bedding. You choose what sheets and towels you want, you use them for a while, then get new ones and return the old ones.
You want them to feel good, you want them to be new, you want them to be fresh.
Kevin Surace is a creator of Koyuchi for Life. Users can choose if they want to get new sheets and towels sent to them every 6, 12, or 24 months. Online, you choose colors and styles.
You use them for your year. A year later, new ones arrive. You take the old ones, put them back in the same package, send them back to us, and we recycle or upcycle those.
The target customer being millennials who might be less likely to own what they use. Subscriptions start at $9 a month for sheets and $5 for towels. They also have duvets. Depending on how often you want sheets, it can go up to $42 a month. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 540. Thanks for being along with us today. The Clean Energy Trust Challenge pitch competition took place recently for lots of money, funding from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Several hundred students, entrepreneurs, business executives, and investors attended this year's challenge. We're happy to have one of those winners with us today. The product is called Sun Buckets, and the person who is in charge of the company is with us this morning. Bruce Elliott Litchfield is the CEO of Sun Buckets. He's on with us this morning from Champaign. Bruce, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve.
And congratulations, too, by the way. This is the product is called Sun Buckets. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Sun Buckets are a device that we've invented to collect, store, and then recover thermal energy, solar thermal energy. And we're using it primarily as a cook stove, but it could be used for other applications as well. And the key thing about Sun Buckets is they can store a lot of heat, a lot of energy in a small package. So they're portable, and you can use them to cook wherever you like and whenever you like because they store the heat.
Yeah, I'm on your website, did a little research too on this, but the front page of your website is pretty cool because you have one of these on the front page, and the headline says, "Cook with the sun even at night." So this works even when there's no sun.
Right. The idea is that you collect the energy during the sunny part of the day, and then you can cover it up. It's insulated on all sides. You can put the insulated cover on it and store the heat and use it later. And that's one of the key features that we wanted to have as a foundational means of operation, because in many places people don't cook in the middle of the day. They don't like to cook outside in the sun. And so to be able to collect the energy and take it inside and cook inside in the evening was really important.
And I bet this application, you're targeting the billions of people on the planet, and it still surprises me whenever I see the statistics, who do not have electricity, who live in places where this would be very important to them.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. There are 3 billion people, over 40% of the world, that still cook with solid fuels like wood, charcoal, dried animal waste. And so they don't have access to the energy options that we do. And as a result, are sort of trapped in using what for them is a very expensive fuel. Many of them are spending from 25 to 40% of their disposable income on fuel. And subjecting themselves to unhealthy conditions because of the emissions.
Where did you get the idea for this? Where is it rooted in?
Yes, so the roots of this go back several years. Our Engineers Without Borders chapter, students here at the University of Illinois in Champaign, started working on this problem, primarily focused for a housing development in Mexico. They were thinking of a community cook stove sort of centered in kind of a cul-de-sac of homes. And they tried many things. They were really well-intentioned, worked hard, but we just kept finding ways to fail. And finally, they set it aside. And but the problem it sort of set its hooks in me, and a group of us got together and started talking about other alternatives. And it got back to what we just mentioned earlier, that it needs to be portable, it needs to be really hot to emulate fire, and it needs to store the energy so you can use it later on.
And part of that, too, is you mentioned that it's the people. You have to design this really for people. It has to be easy to use. Is that what you've done here?
Exactly right. We use this user-centered design approach where we went into the field to find out how people cook and what the problems are, and also see the other attempts at cook stoves that have tried and failed or just aren't matching the needs of folks who are cooking. And so we really wanted to make sure we emulate fire and then we let people cook in the traditional ways they're used to cooking. So many approaches require you to cook, for example, inside a box or slide your food into a cylindrical pan and put it into a cylinder. And people just don't cook that way. They're used to using their own pots and pans and utensils. And so we aimed to replace the fire itself with this really hot surface.
One of the challenges too you had to overcome, you sort of alluded to it there, was it has to be hot enough to cook things like fried chicken and things that you would have normally need a fire for, right? So this does that.
Right. The key for us was, since we're trying to use solar energy primarily, there's an abundant solar energy, but it's just not that hot. So we concentrate it. We use a parabolic reflector or some other means of concentrating the energy of the sun and get temperatures near those of fire at the cooking surface.
Yeah, I see one of the photographs on your site is, it seems like it's in the middle of like a satellite dish thing. It's the center of that. Is that with the parabolic part of it?
Exactly right. Yeah, those parabolic dishes with the reflective coatings on them are actually available commercially, and they're used in some parts of the world for cooking. The main drawback with those, of course, is you have to stand out in the midday sun and cook with your pot sort of in the center of this parabolic dish. And so what we've done is develop this device that you can put there and collect sun and then use it later.
Well, the prize that you've won is, $100,000. How will you use that money? What do you do next with this product?
Yeah, great question. So far, we've only produced prototypes, and so we have several prototypes in the field. As you saw on the website, probably, Steve, there are some in Lakai, Haiti, in the southwestern part of Haiti. And one thing we're going to do with this is produce some more units. We've gotten our first purchase order. We have an order for 24 of the systems to go to Haiti, and so we're going to actually move from sort of the one-by-one production of prototypes for testing into a more commercial setting where we can start producing them en masse.
And so I also bet you probably have a future vision for this. If it works in some of those countries where there's no electricity, imagine what it would do in a country where we're trying to find more clean energy ideas.
Exactly right. I mean, while our roots and our initial drive is to solve cooking problems in the developing world, there are certainly obvious places in the domestic market, places where you may not want to have fires, maybe no burn zones, national parks, national forests, disaster areas, but also just as a convenience and a way to reduce energy use here, you know, cookouts, backyard, tailgates, things like that. And we think that some people might be so dedicated to living green with their cooking habits that they might use it as a routine day-to-day cooking source. Yeah.
As soon as I saw this, I immediately thought of camping. I like to camp, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. That would be probably one of the markets you'd hit, right?
Yeah, we envision situations where you may check into a campground or a campsite, and you know, they're told there's no fires here, no burning, but here's your sun bucket. You can use that as your source of heat.
What kind of price point are you going to maybe have on this? Have you even thought that far ahead? How is it going to be affordable for people to buy?
Yeah, great question. These initial prototypes are pretty expensive, and the cost of the thing right now is in the $400 to $500 range. But we know that as we start producing them in quantity, that the price will come down. So we really hope that it's affordable for everyone, of course, in the developing market first and foremost, and then also here at home.
Well, Bruce, again, congratulations on winning this award, and good luck with sun buckets.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your interest, Steve.
Bruce Elliott Litchfield, the CEO of Sun Buckets. You can find out more about this online at sunbuckets.com. And some of the other winners, by the way, of the challenge, the Clean Energy Trust Challenge, we saw, let's see, the big prize, Acre, a Chicago-based agriculture company, uses drones to make farms more efficient, won the biggest prize on that, $400,000. Again, this money comes from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. There's also awards that were granted from companies like ComEd and the Power Clean Cities Award, the Hanley Foundation in there as well. We're going to post a list of all of the winners of this latest challenge online and on our Twitter page so that you can take a look at them.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:53 now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures off about 86 points now. S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well by about a third. Crude oil at $48.92 a barrel, recovering a little bit this morning. Gold and silver are a little bit higher as well. Let's get the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at yesterday's grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade, for the first time in a while, we had private exporters reporting sales of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2016-17 marketing year. The sale, 132,000 tons of soybeans. That sent soybean prices up 1.1% yesterday. Corn close to unchanged as investors still were digesting the report showing farmers had surpassed the typical pace of seeding after a slow start to planting. And so at the end of the day yesterday, the July corn contract down just 0.75 cents, but the July soybean contract was up 10.5 cents, and July wheat ended 10.25 higher. Then at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, cattle and hog prices went different directions. Hog futures hit a 3-month high, but live cattle hit a 5-week low. Their highest level for hogs, however, since mid-February, thanks to strong cash and wholesale pork prices. And the cattle market down to a 5-week low, thanks to weaker cash prices reported this week. One other note we want to pass along, if you make plans early, the GrowMark annual meeting and agribusiness symposium has been set for the Hilton, Chicago, on August 23rd and 24th. And that's the annual meeting and agribusiness symposium of GrowMark. That's it for today. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Right now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. Target Corporation reports its financial results today. Google is about to provide the latest peek at its digital services and gadgets as it seeks to become an even more influential force in people's lives. The overview will come during today's Google annual conference for thousands of computer programmers. The House Agriculture Committee holds a hearing on the state of the rural economy. Testimony expected today from Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. The AAA Memorial Day forecast is out. AAA projects 39.3 million Americans will travel this Memorial Day, up about a million people from last year. That would make this Memorial Day the highest travel volume since 2005. Reasons include more consumer spending and overall increase in travel this year, again, according to AAA. The Geography Bee finals, the final rounds, and the championship of the Geography Bee get underway today in Washington, D.C., and the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest gets underway in Memphis. Hundreds of teams are competing for nearly $100,000 or more in prizes. Some of the things that could move the markets or make you hungry today on this Wednesday, May 17th.